Good morning, everybody. It's so great to have you together. My day is better because I'm getting to see you today. And I'm so thrilled that we get to be together. For everyone online, we are together in the Spirit. Thanks for taking care of yourself and your family and loved ones. And we are all together. We're going to do this, though. Everybody in the room, can we give a big round of applause to all of our family online? We love you. We're with you this morning. Hey, I am excited about those small groups. And by the way, three of those small groups are designed to help you process what's going on socially in the world around us. I'm doing one group called Pursuing Justice, and what's the understanding of biblical justice that we're all tossing the word around so much? What does God think about that word? What does it have to do with him? So that's one. There's another one, I think one of our elders, almost to be candidates, Roy Ray, and one of our other elders are leading one by Tony Evans called Oneness Embraced. What's the biblical understanding of what oneness? The world likes to use this word, unity and diversity. What's oneness really all about? Important one. And then I think you'll all agree this small group is very needed, the bait of Satan, how to avoid offense in a culture that is filled with it. So there are some other small groups besides those, but you want to check them out online and here because we need the word of God and we need to be shepherded in a time when the world is trying to consume us. Amen? All right, so looking forward to joining many of you with that. Now, I said that we're so excited to be together. I've been praying for you, thinking about you, to see your faces is incredible. And we're going to talk about in summer playlist now. This week, we're going over the first five major stories of Moses. And there's someone who did not get face to face with God until something called the burning bush. And I think that was a moment when God was pretty excited to finally see, quote-unquote, in a certain way, Moses, and lead to a transformation. And so both online and here today, I believe this morning is about a burning bush moment where God wants to get face-to-face with us and is going to invite us to step out of what we've been standing in all these years. Moses, take off your shoes because the place where you're meeting with me, it's holy ground. Moses, you're going to have to stand. You can't stand in where you've been standing and what you've been standing in. I'm going to ask you to come and to know me in a greater way. And you think about this world that is crying for a difference to happen. And yet, where's a real difference found? Okay? And Moses was a person that God made different so that he could really make an eternal difference. Moses was part of God's plan to make a difference that you and I are still living in today. It was a difference that wasn't a fad, a trend, a news cycle. It was something much deeper than that. What do we need to discover as we begin to read his story, and how do we discover where a real difference comes from? Now, if you think about your own personal life, who is the person who's made the biggest difference in your life? Okay? And online, you could comment that in there, probably not throw their whole name in there, but a first name. Who's someone who's made a big difference in your life? Who are the top five people in this year? Who are they? Start thinking about them. Now, I don't know their names, but I bet I know who they are. Because I bet all of them, no matter how different those 5, 10 people are in your life, I bet they all have two characteristics that are in common. And that's why they've made the biggest difference in your life. The first is this. Number one, they all have something that you could relate to in their life. So somehow you had a similarity, something that connected you with them, something that gave you a reason to have relationship and an openness to have relationship with them. So that was the first thing. You need that. But the second thing, and the reason why they made the biggest difference in your life, is because they were different. Yeah, there was something you could connect to, but the way they made a difference in your life is they caused you to see something differently. They lived a life that was different. They handled something you were going through differently than you handled it, and it caught your attention. And it made a difference in your life because why? Because they were different. We got a lot of talk going on. We got a lot of people who like to say a lot of things. There's an old proverb that says, a good example is 10 times more valuable than good advice. Because, you know, people could tell us things, but these people who really made a difference in your life, if you're thinking about them right now, they didn't just give you advice. They were different in a key way. And that changed you. Well, that's what God is looking for. We live in a world right now wants everything to be different. I would submit to you, if you look underneath the surface, not much difference there. Everybody wants to be different, but you're not. I mean, the world's definition is, oh, we celebrate different as long as you still think like us. We celebrate that you're different as long as you agree with us. Now, if you're different and don't agree with us, now we condemn you. So really, they're not really asking for difference. They're just asking for permission for it to be just the way they want. And we live in this world where things have to change, though. There's no question about it. Change has to happen. Things do need to be different. But how does that really happen? Moses, the five stories you're going to read this week, one every day, it's about a man who God did something so different in and was so different that he led to the change in the very people, community, and society around him that God was always planning to do. So we're going to look at them today. So we're going to kind of breeze through their story a little bit and just kind of think about them. Now, we're talking about Moses, right? How many people remember the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments movie? Okay? You know, he goes up on the mountain and comes back with a great tan, highlights in his hair. I mean, he met God. It is equal to a tanning salon, basically. How many of you, when you think about the story of Moses, got a little Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, miracles are possible when you believe. How many of you remember the song? Nobody remembers the song. Okay, Joan, thank you. All right, I'm not going to sing it for you. We'll move on. But most of us have like some kind of familiarity with the story of Moses. He was born an Israelite, yet he was in the midst, his people were under such oppression that his mom put him in a basket, right? And then Pharaoh's daughter picked him up, adopted him, and he grew up in Pharaoh's house. He actually grew up among the people who were doing the oppressing. And the scripture says, you're going to read about the birth of Moses in Exodus 1 and 2. And when you're in that spot, you're going to read these words. That Moses grew up, an Israelite who was living as an Egyptian, but had a heart for the Israelites where the Egyptians didn't at all. And it says, after Moses had grown up, he went out to his own people. He saw their hard labor, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, which was legal and permissible, right? And what did he do? He killed the Egyptian. So he had this heart to help change happen and to see a hurting people be set free, but he answered violence with what? Violence. And what was the result? Did he make a change? No, the very people he did it for said, oh yeah, that's great. Now are you going to try to rule and judge me? Are you going to kill me? Because what you give is what you get. And a matter of fact, what he reaped was Pharaoh trying to kill him. And he ended up having to flee to Midian. And if you're familiar with the story of Moses, he spent decades as an Israelite who wasn't at home with his own people, as an Egyptian who was being threatened and pursued. He ended up in Midian with people he never even knew, doing a job that was just kind of everyday shepherdish for decades. And here's the idea. As you read that first day, everything that Moses probably, I mean, he probably had some time in that desert where he's like, man, God, why'd you make me like this? I didn't ask to be born this way. I didn't ask to be born in that place. I didn't ask to grow up there. Everything that Moses said was probably like, this is why my life, you know, is so hard and so bad right now. Because I just never fit in. I'm never part of anybody. I'm always the outcast. I'm always the odd person out. Well, guess what? Every one of those differences were the reason God could use him to make a difference. Every one of them. Everything where Moses said, man, I wish I wasn't like that, and I wish I wasn't different like that, and I wish I just fit in here, was everything that God was using to fit together his plan for an entire nation. And look, you and I live in this world where if we're different, we're disqualified. Now, again, on the surface, it's like, oh, we love different as long as you think just like us. We live in a hate culture right now that basically says, if you don't hate who I hate, then I hate you. You can be different a lot of ways, but you can't be different in how I want to do it and how I feel and who I want to hate. And yet here, so we live in a world right now, and I'm not going to try to say this. I'm not trying to oversimplify, and I'm not trying to be offensive at all. But if you're in the African-American community and you have friends and are willing to listen to your white brothers and sisters, you're called whitewashed or Uncle Tom. And if you're white and you are listening and trying to do justice with your black brothers and sisters, you might not be whitewashed, but you may be called brainwashed. And you may not be Uncle Tom, but you may be a traitor, Uncle Sam. Because this world doesn't really want God's difference. It wants its way. And when God said that he was looking for a person to stand in the gap, there's a reason why nobody was in that gap. Because it's a hard place to be. And I want to encourage you this morning, the differences that God has placed in your life are the key to God's greatness in your life. And don't you abandon them, and don't you fall for the lie. Don't you fall for the lie that, well, if I'm not exactly like, then I'm not right. Be careful. Man, we live in a world that's flooding you right now. You got to be this way. You got to be in this camp. You got to look this way. Be careful. Because that's not how God changed the world. He changed it through someone who said, boy, I feel like I don't really have a home in any one place. And God said, welcome to being able to help me make a home for everybody. That's God's call. Tuesday, you're going to look at the burning bush. This is a really important moment. Now, you've got to remember that when Moses hits burning bush territory, he's been in the desert mulling on his failure and pain, rejection, and tragedy for decades. And he's day after day, week after week, year after year, just doing a job that nobody cares about and nobody notices. Man, God, I thought I was supposed to help change the world. I thought I was supposed to do something that was going to make a difference. Here I am, man, 30 years in, and now I'm just doing this job to make ends meet. That's when Moses meets God at the burning bush. And in that moment, God says to him, I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Let's really think about that moment with Moses. Because Moses has given up. Everything in Moses' life says it's over. And when it's over, it's finally ready to begin. This is what God does. He says, you know, because I would have thought, God, where were you 40 years ago when I saw the Egyptians oppressing them and I tried to do that thing to change everybody and I ended up losing any source of stability or home or goodness I had? Where were you? Because I saw that like 40 years ago. And what was God really doing? God was seeing it all along. But I want you to notice that there were three ingredients that God said, until you've got these in your place, you're not ready to help me make a real change, Moses. So I want you to see this. Look, God didn't use Moses until he had three ingredients: pain, power, and really feeling like he had no purpose. Those three had to come together in his life before God said, now, Moses, now you and I are going to be about a change that's never going to fail and never going to end. He had this place of pain. It was his experience as an Israelite, seeing the oppression, the injustice, being rejected by his own people because he didn't fit in though yet. He had a place of pain, and really it was a place of failure. It was a place of failure. He crashed and burned and spent the next 40 years of his life paying for doing the wrong thing, the wrong way. Maybe the right thing, the wrong way, right? He had a place of power. Some might call it privilege. People would call it success. because he was in the Egyptian courts and he was part of the royal family, and he had a place where he had the ability to have power. And that was actually pretty important because, you know, I mean, Moses didn't necessarily handle it right, but in the end, that place of power was the only reason he could go back to Pharaoh and know how to confront him according to the power system he was in. And then he definitely had this place, I would say, of wandering. 40 years wandering, year after year. Just, why? What happened to my life? Why is it like this? I don't understand, God. Why didn't you do? Where are you now? But I think God was, boy, doing a bunch of purging in that place. Things had to fall apart. My answers I thought I had to become empty and shallow to get ready for the answer. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, the world says once you fail, the world says once you've messed up, the world says once you've got pain in your life, then, well, not you. Well, I think Moses shows us a very different way that God uses pain and failure. And it's actually not until we experience it that we become more ready to do what God wants us to do. On Wednesday, you're going to go to the 10 plagues. Now, I think you're going to relate to this easily because in 2020, we've basically had all the plagues, all right, physically. I mean, we've had hail here. We've had pestilence. Today is dust, mud, and other poor air quality things going on thanks to the Sahara. I mean, it's just like I think we're living in the plagues in some crazy way at this point. I've got frogs at my house. I don't know if you do. But it's just there. Now, it's a pretty big read in there, but what's going to be really interesting here is the repeated theme is God says to Moses, Moses, you're the one to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go, again and again and again, all right? In Exodus 8:1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, why? So that they may worship me. And that's a really important, when you want justice, when you want transformation, when you want things to change, and when it changes, why? That's really, really important, okay? But I want you to notice this, and I think it's pretty obvious. God calls Moses to the very place Moses had to escape from. Well, that's different. Excuse me, God, I don't know if I quite heard you. You want me to go back to the guy who wanted to kill me? That's where you want me to go? Yeah, that's where I want you to go. What? So you want me to go to the place I have failed the most? Yeah, yeah, that's your purpose. My purpose is to go to the place where I've been the biggest failure. Well, you're not going to fail, though. You're going to do it my way now, and it's not going to be you. It's going to be me with you and what I give you to say and what I give you to do. Yeah, I don't think I want to go there. No. But Moses, you don't see, in the world, pain is like, well, I just need to escape from that. In my eyes, I don't waste anything, and somehow your purpose is connected to something you've learned or felt or experienced in your pain. We've got a version of pop Christianity that says God is there to get me as far away from my pain as possible. That's what God does for me. And God's like, no, I will rescue, I will free. You will be so free that one day, if I so desire, you're able to go back to that very type of circumstance and minister. Oh, that free? I don't know if I want to be that free. I'd like settle for medium free, please, because big free is a little too much for me. It's like, no, that's freedom when what you've learned to be more than conqueror, I don't just beat you, I don't just beat you bad, I actually take the attack and turn it into the tools that I can do more good with now. Oh, wow. So those things, were, you failed, you're done. No, wait a minute. God says, you failed, you've just begun. There's a possibility for you now. It's really different. Thursday, we're going to get to the Passover. Boy, all of the Christ imagery here, right? Jesus is the Lamb of God. Where does that terminology come from? It comes from this story that you're going to be reading on Thursday. Here, it's very interesting. The Lord says, okay, before I'm about to have what the name of the book is, Exodus, we need to have the Passover. And what's the Passover about? The Passover is when God said to Moses, Moses, if you're going to work on a permanent change, if you're going to be part of justice, if you're going to be part of a community experiencing the redemption and freedom it needs to have, then you need to remind them that they need as much forgiveness as everybody else. What? I mean, I'm here to help them. Yeah, no. And if you really want them to be free, then they've got to have this moment when they take a lamb and they experience the pain of its death and they see the visibility of the blood that is over their home. And the only difference between the Egyptians and you in that moment is that you've accepted a blood sacrifice to spare you. Because for everything Egypt has done, the only reason the death angel's passing over you is because you're living in the salvation I've provided. Whoa. Wait a minute. I mean, isn't this about just, I don't want to be really sensitive, isn't this about like I've been wronged? Yeah, but you still need to recognize your own need. Because in a personal relationship, well, they wronged me. So it's like, well, wait a minute. If you don't recognize your need for the Passover, for the blood of the Lamb to pass you, then whatever you try to do to make this right is probably just going to be another form of the wrong that's happened to you. You're not qualified to be my agent of justice if you don't recognize that I satisfy justice for you. That's pretty different than the world we're in right now. Friday, crossing the Red Sea. I mean, this is the great moment, right? This is the one we love. This is, I think, where Whitney and Mariah sing the song. And, you know, this is a great moment. And this is where, and if you read the story, you're going to read it on Friday. When you read it, Moses is not doing a great job. You know, he's like, God, where are you? And God's like, stay the course, Moses. I'm pretty sure this is not going the way it should go. Keep going. Moses is going to be all right. I'm not sure. Would you stop crying out to me and tell the people to stand still because I'm about to do this? Why don't you stretch out your hand and raise the rod that I've given you that's all about me, that's been my word, and you're going to see that the Lord, that I sweep them from the sea. You mean Moses does all that and God gets the credit? You mean Moses puts himself in harm's way and endures ridicule and persecution and rejection and trial and suffering so that everybody can say how great God is? I mean, isn't if I'm going to be the hero, shouldn't everybody celebrate me? I mean, aren't I the hero of this story? Isn't it what I say and the insight I have and what I'm telling everybody and what nobody else gets but me and a few other people? Isn't it all about me? No, it's not. But, you know, I read a one book that said, you know, everybody wants to be known for changing the world more than actually changing it. I want to be known for it. But I don't actually want to become different to make the real difference. And so Moses gives his entire life so that God can be known as the real healer, a hero and deliverer. And we've got to recognize that as God's people. I mean, what if you do everything? What if it costs you dearly to honor the Lord? And not only does nobody know about it, but what if you do it and people speak evil of it? You willing to go there? Well, no. At some point, someone interviews me, and I have my own YouTube channel, and everybody wants to hear me. It's like, well, no, maybe nobody wants to hear you for doing the right thing. Maybe no one cares. Just all the people you've worked with, the lives you touch, praise the Lord, they know, but nobody else. Are you ready for that? Or somewhere in this scenario, do you need to be the one who's known as right? See, it's different. It's different what God does. And God takes lives and he makes them very different. All right? And I just want you to recognize this. Moses' place of pain is his purpose. Moses' place of power and success, it's not for him. Moses' place of wandering and confusion is so he can become a wonder to a whole nation. I want you to see this. Wherever that place of pain is, wherever that place of failure is, you know what? The one true God has a purpose in it that's way bigger than you realize. If you've got this place of success and power in your life, you know, Moses must be like, well, finally, you know, I finally got something good. And it's like, Moses, that's not for you. You don't even realize, but years from now, you've got to know how this system works. Why? For you? No, for a whole bunch of people you're advocating for. For a whole bunch of people you're serving. Moses, your success and your power, it's not for you. It's for a whole bunch of people you're about to serve. God, why do I have to be 40, all these years in the desert, all these like just thinking about how I failed and how it didn't go right and how I used to know that and it used to be so good, and just day after day, year after year, I'm just showing up and you're doing nothing. I feel like I'm wandering. Well, maybe you're ready to finally really let me be the wonder of your life and make you a sign and a wonder that you could never imagine. This is Moses. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus, right? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very of nature God, did not use his success for himself. But the power he was given was to serve. This is Philippians 2. But made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of the pain and the failure of mankind. Saying that pain and that failure, my purpose is in the middle of that. And became obedient to death and had no greater moment of confusion on the face of the earth than he was on the cross. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The pain, the place of power, and the very place of confusion and wandering in your life, man, don't give up because you are not at the end of the movie. You are not at the end of the book. God does this really different. God does it really different than the world. And you're going to get sidetracked a million times if you're not careful. Because God's got a way of taking all the differences in your life and saying, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. But you're going to have to meet with me and some things are going to get purged out of your life. You're going to have a burning bush moment when it's finally all about me, when you are done trying to do it with yourself, when you are finally convinced you can't do it, now we can talk. Now we can talk together. Now you can be part of making a real difference. And it begins here. God will truly change things when I am willing to truly be changed. Because in a world that is demanding that things change yesterday, the first thing that needs to change is right here in you and me. It's not them, it's me. It's me. I've got to change. I've got to be willing to let God take me through that Moses-type experience. I've got to be willing to see life like Jesus and live the way he lives. Then things can change. And it starts in my personal relationships. Well, I've been so wrong. Yeah, but don't forget how much you need to be forgiven too. But they said, well, I get it. Start with you. You need a Passover lamb like everybody else. Start from there. You're going to do great justice then. Forgive, build. So I just want to finish with three questions for you about trust. We sang the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," right? Because trust is always about surrender. Who are you willing to say, okay, we'll do it your way? That's trust. Trust is not a theological concept. It's a, I'm gonna do this your way, right? I want you to think of these three areas, your place of pain and failure, all right? First of all, are you willing to surrender it to God or is it still God in your life? Now, I want to be sensitive because I am not in any way saying, oh, get over your pain. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, don't let that pain become your God. And don't let your life be defined by how far you get away from it. Let your life be defined by how close you are to the healer. Because I'm telling you what, at some point, that pain is probably going to be part of your purpose. And I'm telling you now, it's going to be glorious if you'll let the God who knows you and created you have his way in your life. And maybe today, you just got to have a fresh moment and say, God, I'm in so much pain. And I'm mad. And I don't really, my first God I go to is what gets me away from my pain. And I got to start coming to you. So just hear God speak to you today. How about this issue of your success or your power? Oh, man. It's not about you. And I want you to hear this. It's not for you. Your success, your power, your accomplishment. Yeah, but nobody else sacrificed to go to school or do that or work those nights. Yeah. And Jesus gave everything he had for you, too. You mean all that sacrifice? I've worked so hard to get out of this, or I've worked so hard to get in this position. Yeah, so you could give it to somebody else. Because that's why God let you have it. Your success and your power is not for you. It's to go serve someone who needs it, who didn't pay the price you paid and hasn't endured what you've endured. Welcome to Jesus. He gave what he had for you. And then this issue of wandering and confusion. Are you willing to stop demanding the answers you want? God, when's this going to end? When are they going to discover? When's everybody going to recognize? When is what I did finally going to show up? And, well, I'm just letting you know right now that we sing the words holy all the time. Remember what holy means? It means really different, like other than. If you want to meet a holy God, you're not going to get him with the same old thoughts. That's why when Moses finally, after this process of wandering and wandering, finally comes to a moment of wonder in his life, when he's finally willing to just look at anything that's different, because he's seen the same thing for years and years and years, doing the same thing every day, every week, every month. And he's finally like, hey, there's a burning bush. I think I'm going to go see what's going on there. I'm ready for different. And what does he do? What's the first thing God says? Moses, what you're standing in, you can't stand in if you're going to meet with me. You're going to have to decide to step out of what you think, what you're used to, because the place you are standing is what? Different ground. It's different. And you've got to be willing to go there. And then what does Moses? Moses, from all his wondering, becomes what? A literal sign and wonder to the whole world around him. And all of a sudden, everything that he said, why was I made different? Why did this happen? All of a sudden, it all came together, and it was his purpose in life. So I'm asking you today, from the Lord, oh man, wherever you're different, thank the Lord. I know it's costing you something right now. You got to keep it Jesus-centered. You can't be different for different sakes. It's got to be submitted to him. But I'm just letting you know right now, man, you wait to see what God's going to do with your life. I'm going to do one more moment, and then we're going to wrap up with asking God, God, I'm willing to be the sign and the wonder. I'm willing to be different. I'm willing to do it your way and not the way I think or the way I've heard. And so this next slide in a moment I'm going to put up, it's going to be a full screen, not just the third. But Sarah and I and our family, we've got an experience about God saying, I'm going to make you a wonder. For those of you who don't know, part of the joy of our life is adoption. And our son was born in Ethiopia, and probably about 8 years before the adoption, we were in the middle of a service right here at Cornerstone, right in that front row, and the speaker was Jay LaRue, many of you know, is a teacher of God's Word and also works in prophecy. And Jay had a prophetic word, a word from God for Sarah and I, and it was based, which all prophecy should be based off of the Word of God, correctly interpreted. It was Isaiah 8, I think verse 18, and it says, it's the place where Isaiah says, "Here am I and my children, signs and portents or wonders, signs and wonders for the Lord." And Jay said, "I feel like God's saying, Sean, Isaiah 8, 18, you and your children are supposed to be signs and wonders for the Lord." So that's awesome, right? It's like, oh, great. My kids are going to be great. That's awesome. I can't, you know, that's going to be so cool. And then 8 years went by, 7, 8 years, and I forgot all about it. And really didn't even think about it as we're in the middle of the adoption process. And we went through 2.5 years of wandering, crazy story behind all that. And then finally, our son Caleb comes home. Always been our son. Never not been our son. Just God did it a little different. And for the first 6 months, there was this interesting experience I had. It was incredible joy, incredible amazingness, but there's also a tension I begin to discover. Because time and time again, my son and I, whose skin colors are different, would walk into a store, walk someplace, and people would have less than flattering faces, questions, or comments about it. Just again and again. And one day, I'm going to Chester Walmart, and Caleb is on my shoulders, and I'm holding him. And I don't know why, but I was kind of in that had it up to here kind of moment with everybody's questions. And we're walking in Walmart, and there's some people that are looking, and you could tell they're wondering, why is this white guy have this black boy on his shoulders? And I'm like, I'm getting mad. And I'm just like, God, why does this have to happen? And God says to me, I'm in Walmart. I'm having a very spiritual experience at Walmart. He says, what are you talking about, Sean? I told you about this. Told me about this. When did you tell me about this? And literally, right in the middle of, don't you remember Isaiah 8, 18? Here I am, me and my children, and people are wondering what they're seeing. Sean, I told you this a long time ago, that I was planning to take you and your children and make them a wonder. You just decided it was all going to be easy and pleasant. But maybe sometimes, Sean, the way you become a sign and wonder for me is when people wonder, I don't understand what you're doing right now. I don't understand what I'm seeing right now. Is that right? Is that okay? Should you be doing that? I don't know. I wonder what I'm seeing. And it hit me. Like a ton of bricks had hit me. I don't think I was crying in Walmart. There's been plenty of times I've cried in Walmart, but that wasn't one of them. And it was just, oh, it's so much different than I thought it was going to be. But for the exact reason that you always said. It was always supposed to be this way. I thought it was different in my head how it was going to work out. And I want you to hear, God wants to make you and I a sign and wonder. Oh, sorry, I forgot the picture. This is a little older picture. This is Caleb before we got to hold him. And this is in the current picture. And the reason why it's not a current picture is because the rule is in my family, if I show any pictures of any of my children, I get permission from them that that picture is acceptable to show in public. And I didn't have time to do that. So you're only seeing Caleb with my wife. But I just want you to hear this morning. I think I fell into a lie that I think all of us fall into. Oh God, use my life. God, why are all these people around me? God, I want to do something that means something for you. These people are really bothering me. I'm so upset about this. This is so troubling me. He's like, yeah, where do you think I want you to be used? In the place where nobody's got any problems? Like, God, you're going to use me to be a sign and a wonder? That's awesome. Yeah, what if people wonder if you're right or not? You still want to be a sign and a wonder then? What if they don't even wonder? What if they're pretty certain you're absolutely wrong? What if the good thing that God is, what if I'm asking you to do a good thing and people are going to speak evil of it? You okay with that, Sean? Or at the end of the story, do you need to be the hero? At the end of the story, does everybody know how good you were, what you did? Is that really how this is going to play out? Because guess what? I can't use you to do anything that's going to really change anybody if that's your goal. But if your goal at the end of all the change you work for is so that people can worship me, then you and I can talk. Because then there's something you and I can accomplish. But if this is about worshiping you at the end of the story, I think all you're going to do is the same old thing everybody else is doing. So Sean, how about standing in front of that burning bush and stop standing where you're standing and say, God, whoever you are and wherever you want me to go, and if it's got to be in the pain I face or the failure that I've done or nobody understanding me, God, I'm willing. That's the burning bush moment today. Because I'm pretty sure that one day you're supposed to be on somebody's top five list of people who have changed my life. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be on that list by being the same as everybody else. You're going to have to go, you're going to have to start walking in a holy place that says, God, I'm willing to walk where I don't know anybody else is walking. And so I'm just going to ask you this morning. We're going to finish up. Stanley's going to lead us in a little something. And I'm going to ask for a moment of worship. God, I really want to worship you. You're at home. You could do this just with us. And in that, God, my pain is yours. I surrender it to you. God, my success is yours. Use it for whoever you want to use it for. God, my wondering and my questions are yours. And if the best thing you need to tell me is, guess what? My answer to all your question is, I am. Well, then I say yes to that. Because he's faithful. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you would. And would you just, at home, you just do whatever gives you a place to have a holy moment right now. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands to the Lord. Let's just sing this together. Just meet with them right now.